You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Everyone, to another post-game episode of Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast coverage of the Houston Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. I'm chatting with you on Sunday night. The Rockets just polished off a big 135-128 win in Sacramento. Really, the game wasn't even that close. The Kings outscored them 39-28 in a largely meaningless fourth quarter. Pretty much the Rockets put the hammer down early in this game, improving to 54-26 on the year. In truth, it's meaningless to the standings. The Rockets are locked into the 3 seed, and the Oklahoma City Thunder are locked into the 6. So the goal in any of these games is not to get healthy, first and foremost. But beyond that, you do want to see them play well. You do want to see them establish some continuity, some rhythm getting into the playoffs, especially with Ryan Anderson just returning to the lineup in the past couple of days. And on that front, give the Rockets credit. Absolutely a big step in the right direction for them. 78 points in the first half. I know the Kings aren't a very good defensive team, but I don't care if you're playing against air. 78 points and a half, that's the kind of explosion that only the Rockets have, reminiscent of when they put up 79 in the first half against Oklahoma City just a couple of weeks ago. And of course, it starts with James Harden, 35 points on 9 of 22 shooting, 15 assists, 11 rebounds. I know he had the 10 turnovers, but quite frankly, this was a game in which the Rockets knew they were going up against a bad defense, and I think they tried some things in terms of creation and trying to be creative that they wouldn't in most settings. I think they knew that the Kings were not taking it that seriously, and well, you try and get cute and a couple of times it burns you, and so that's why James did have a slightly inefficient 10 turnovers. However, by and large, 35 points, 15 assists. He took advantage of a defense that's not good, and he got the Rockets the open looks they needed. As a team, they were 18 of 43 from behind the arc. That's 42%. But the big guns were especially effective. Ryan Anderson was 6 of 8 from behind the arc, 7 of 9 overall, 21 points in his 23 minutes. That's great to see. They limited him to about 15 minutes in his return on Friday night against the Pistons. They wanted to stretch him out a little bit more tonight, and well, he did it successfully. You want to see if he can handle a few more minutes without getting hurt? You want to see if they can adjust to him being back in the offense? Well, they checked all of those boxes, and even though Harden was clearly the leading scorer with 35 points, 15 assists, he's your catalyst, he's your MVP for obvious reasons. Actually, I thought the best sign for the Rockets was to see Ryan Anderson get going like he did. Now, he did play well Friday as well, but his minutes were so limited that it was hard to take a lot out of that game against the Pistons, in which they finished off while playing no one regular in terms of their interior rotation. This was a game the Rockets took it a little more seriously, at least from a minutes distribution, and so it was great to see Ryan get it going. Last week against Denver and Detroit, we saw that James Harden, after those 5 days off, he's been much more efficient. His stroke, he was 5 of 13 from behind the arc tonight. He was 12 of 13 on his free throws. He was taking contact. We haven't seen any wincing, any real pain, any signs of something not right with his wrist ever since those 5 days. But we saw that last week. I've been feeling good about James for a while. What I wanted to see was the return of Ryan Anderson. Is he ready to go off of that sprained ankle? I know he says he's not in any pain, but there is still a little bit of swelling, so you want to make sure he's able to take going up and down the floor. He did it a little bit Friday, did it a lot more on Sunday, 23 minutes, and so far, so good. He looks very rested, refreshed. He's shooting the ball well, not seeing any signs of limited mobility. So in terms of the big picture questions for the Rockets as they get ready for the playoffs, just 2 games left, I think this game was a real positive for the Rockets. They did give up 128 points, but well, when you score 78 points in the first half, at some point, it's about just running out the clock. You're not going to see them play locked-in defense in a setting like this where the main goal is just to make a few shots, establish some rhythm, and don't get hurt. This is not the game where you expect the Rockets to just lock in defensively. No, that's going to hopefully happen starting next weekend against the Oklahoma City Thunder. It's not going to happen now if the Rockets are just playing out the string and starting to get some momentum. So yeah, James and Ryan, those are your headliners. But close behind them, I thought this was a really encouraging game for Clint Capela. Now, he was a team best plus 28, was 8 of 8 from the field, 18 points and six rebounds in his 24 minutes. I know the Kings with Willie Cauley-Stein in the middle are not exactly a great litmus test, but the thing for Clint, I don't think it really matters who he's going up against. I think we're at a point with Clint where he just needs to see himself have a little bit of success. We know the games where he struggled lately, particularly the two Warriors matchups, where it seemed like he got stripped far too easily, and it looked like he was in a little bit of a mental funk, kind of doubting himself. And so sometimes, it doesn't matter who you're going up against, you just need to see the ball go through the basket, go out there, and have a lot of success. That's the one thing that I was a little worried about, because going into the Oklahoma City matchup, you know with how big they are with Steven Adams and Enes Kanter, you're not really going to be able to play Montrezl Harrell much at center other than in desperation situations if you're in foul trouble or something like that. By and large, it's going to be a Capella and Nene heavy series, and I didn't think, even though his statistics were okay, I didn't think that really the last couple of weeks have been Clint at his finest, but tonight was a big step in the right direction for him. It's not just that he was 8 of 8, sure he made his shots, but he was a plus 28, which tells you he was a positive difference maker on both ends for the Rockets. By plus minus, by far their most influential of the game. Now, I don't know if that's quite true. I would say James Harden, even though he was just a plus 7, clearly, pretty much every game he plays, he's the ultimate X factor for the Rockets. But Clint, as far as matching up with Oklahoma City, about one of the only questions I would have in this matchup is, are they going to be ready for the physicality inside? It's the rebounding presence. It's not Russell Westbrook that scares me about the Thunder. It's all those huge bodies and the way they can play volleyball on the glass at times. That's the one thing that worries me in this matchup. And so to see Clint have a good game, yeah, I know it's the Kings. There's not a lot you're going to take out of it from a X's and O's, what he did differently. But at some points in a season, I think you just need to have a good game, see the ball bounce your way. And for Clint on Sunday night, it certainly did, and that's just two games before the playoffs. I actually thought it was a good decision by Mike D'Antoni to rest him on Friday night. And maybe he's a little worn down too. I know he's young, so you don't think of Clint as a rest candidate per se, but keep in mind he did break his fibula earlier this year. That's not really an injury that fully goes away, at least until you have a few months of rest. It's more about pain tolerance, and maybe some of the issues he's had were related to playing such a high volume of games. And of course, you never really think of resting him. It's kind of an afterthought because you have Nene at the center position, who's 34 years old. Of course, he's going to be the guy that gets the vast majority of the rest, but Clint is coming off a broken fibula. He is just in his second true season of being an NBA player. His first season was essentially in the D League, so this is just the second time in his career he's played this many games. He did break a fibula just a few months ago, so I think part of it could be that, yeah, there's a little bit of a physical toll grinding on him as he gets closer to the end of the year. I know you wouldn't think of him as a rest candidate, but the Rockets gave him that day off on Friday, and well, he responded really well on Sunday. So maybe part of it's being more fresh. If that is, that's great, because he's going to have a lot more rest. Certainly there's at least 3 days off after Wednesday's season finale until the playoffs start Saturday or Sunday. You'll have three or four off days there. And maybe he also gets another rest day against either the Clippers or the season finale at home against the Timberwolves, because neither of those games mean anything in the standings. So, again, ultimate caveat, it's the Kings. They're not really trying on defense. They're playing out the string. But for Clint, he's at a point where I think he needed to see something positive happen, and that it did. So when you have James playing well, showing no ill effects from the wrist injury, the lingering issues that we talked about as recently as a week ago, you have Ryan Anderson shooting 7 of 9 from the field, playing 23 minutes on that sprained ankle, and then you have Clint Capella, 8 of 8 from the field, plus 28 in his 24 minutes, which is by far the best on the team. Those are really, really encouraging signs for the Rockets as far as what you're trying to take out of this game in terms of playoff relevance, what it means. Beyond that, yeah, there was a lot of extended time for the likes of Bobby Brown. By the way, let's give Bobby credit. In his 25 minutes, 16 points, plus 9, 5 of 9 from the field, 4 of 7 from 3. I know Bobby's a veteran at the end of the bench, but he got his opportunity, and he played well. Credit to him. In a pinch, he can absolutely score the basketball. That's what he does. At his age, I don't expect him to be becoming a regular NBA rotation player anytime soon, let alone the playoffs. But he's a professional. He's been a great asset in the locker room. And so now that you're in these games that don't really matter from a team perspective, I think it's great to see Bobby get some positive reinforcement, go out there and play well. Now, he was able to play, of course, because three rotation players, Eric Gordon, Trevor Ariza, and Nene, your veterans, they sat out tonight for rest. Besides Bobby, you had Isaiah Taylor playing 12 minutes. You also had both Chinonu Anuaku and Montrezl Harrell getting 12. By the way, Anuaku, 2 of 2 from the line, swished a parachuting underhanded. I can't get enough of that. I know it should be a simplistic thing. We should be used to it by now, but there are so many players. Just look at Dwight Howard and Josh Smith, who are clearly not getting the requisite results shooting overhand, that there's nothing to lose, but they don't have the ego to do it. They have too much of an ego to do it, I should say. Onuaku, he doesn't care how silly it looks. He's put ego aside. He's willing to try something, and so far, it's working. I mean, he's going up there and confidently stroking those underhanded shots. And it's not just a small sample size issue either. He's shooting over 73% from the line at the D-League level. When he was a freshman at Louisville back in 2014-2015, he shot just 46% from the field, switched to the underhand, went 59% from the field last year. Now he's up to 73% this year. It's absolutely paying off for him. Could not be happier to see it working out. And long term, he's absolutely going to be a rotation player in the NBA. What is his upside? I don't know. Clearly, he's much further along in the defensive end of the court than on offense. But when you have a big man that can protect the rim and can make free throws, there's absolutely a role for him. I don't think it's going to happen in the playoffs. I don't see the Rockets turning to someone this late in the year that hasn't played. Clearly, the Rockets, these playoffs are going to be Clint Capella and Nene in the middle and Montrezl Harrell playing spot minutes. But going forward, yeah, I think there's a lot of reason to be optimistic about Chinadu Onuaku in the years ahead once he gets a little more seasoning and maybe starts to progress even more in the offensive end. Because the free throws, that's a huge part of it for a big man. Can you knock down those shots? And 73% at the D-League level this year in over 40 games, and now seeing him swish two more at the NBA level, it's a reminder. He's come a long way. He has a great attitude. And so it may take another year or two, but long term, I'm very bullish on him being a contributor to this team. Also, as we close out this postgame episode, I do want to acknowledge Troy Williams once again played a team-high 36 minutes, scored 12 points, 5 of 9 from the field, had 9 rebounds. Thought it was very encouraging to see him play that many minutes. You can tell that Mike D'Antoni wants to get him experience in a lot of different settings, but to see him shoot well from the field, I thought maybe after he had that hot game where he made 6 threes in Phoenix, he was a little too trigger happy the next 2 games. I know it's weird to call anyone trigger happy in a Mike D'Antoni offense, but Troy at heart is not an elite 3-point shooter, so you want to see him be a little more selective. I think part of it's he gets a little, anyone would get a little carried away when you have a game like that, but he was a little more selective, had just 4 3-point attempts tonight, but he did what, well, they wanted him to do. He got out in transition, he ran, he played pretty good defense, and so when you look as far as a playoff rotation guy, I don't think he's going to be a huge part of the rotation, but with Sam Decker out, there's going to be, I'd say, 5 to 10 spot minutes per game where he could be a real factor, especially in a matchup like Rockets and Oklahoma City, where you know the Thunder with Russell Westbrook are going to want to get out and run, even if it's to their disadvantage. But Troy Williams is the kind of athlete that can play well in that setting. The Rockets may need a little more depth with Decker out, and Troy Williams, so far, he's showing exactly what got him minutes on a playoff team in Memphis as well. You have that kind of athleticism, that kind of defense, there's a role for you in the NBA, and so Sunday was another positive night for him as he makes his case for Mike D'Antoni to at least give him spot minutes as they start the playoffs next weekend. Now, as far as the next 2 games, I don't know who's going to rest. It sounds like Pat Beverly and James Harden are going to play out the string, at least from a starting perspective. It doesn't mean they're all going to necessarily play big minutes. Pat played just 29 tonight, and maybe that's limited even more tomorrow on the second night of a back-to-back in Los Angeles. I would bet the veterans play tomorrow just because you want to keep them fresh, and it's not a back-to-back for them because they didn't play tonight. So maybe you see a little more regulars tomorrow, but for fewer minutes, try and cap all the regulars somewhere in the 20s. And then Wednesday, that's absolutely what I would expect. I think Mike D'Antoni has used the word dress rehearsal Wednesday, but you don't ever see any team truly go 30-plus minutes with the regulars in the season finale if it's locked, seeing that the playoffs are 60 to 72 hours away. I think you'll probably see them go spurts with the regulars, maybe 9 minutes in the first, 9 minutes in the third, maybe some closing minutes in the second, and maybe the fourth if it's a tight game and they feel like doing it. But I think you won't see anybody exceed 30 minutes. So I think that's what we see the next couple of nights. I don't see anyone with real injuries, knock on wood. So that really bodes well for the Rockets. You don't have a specific situation that you're trying to heal up. You just want to make sure that no one has an awkward fall or does something uncharacteristic the next 2 nights. So I do think it's not going to be the best defensive nights for the Rockets. That's the one thing you could see tonight, 128 points allowed. They're not exactly going to go all out defensively because that's how you can hurt yourself, that you do want to be careful, but they do want to continue to build some continuity, make sure people are firing on all cylinders by the time the Oklahoma City matchup starts next weekend. So that's what I expect the next 2 nights. And then, of course, after that, we're going to be ready for the playoffs. So latter part of the week, Thursday, Friday, especially, we're going to have some playoff talks, some previews with you. But if you want some now and you haven't heard it already, Friday I did a show with Brian Geltzeiler. You know him as the Hoops Critic on Twitter, analyst on NBA TV, also Sirius XM's NBA channel, breaking down all things Houston, Oklahoma City, and also the James Harden versus Russell Westbrook NBA MVP race. If you haven't heard that already, I strongly encourage you to do so. That's from last Friday the 7th. That's our most recent episode in our Lockdown Rockets archives. You can find iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Audio Boom, TuneIn. Just search for Lockdown Rockets. You can find any of our 170-some-odd shows. We've been doing this since, what, last July. So you can find a lot of episodes throughout this great Rockets season, now 54-26 on the year. But yeah, the most recent one with Brian, I think that's a really good one if you want to get deeper into Rockets Oklahoma City talk. And, well, also on that front, I'm going to have a new column early this week on Sports790.com, the website for Sports Talk 790, the flagship radio station of the Rockets, giving my early thoughts and preview of the series. But really, these next couple of games, we are going to be focusing on, well, the games themselves, because there are going to be new data points. We want to see how these guys play heading towards the playoffs, just as it was a positive sign for especially Ryan Anderson and Clint Capella tonight. But focus early in the week because, well, there's still two games to play, is going to be on those games. Then Thursday and Friday, we're going to turn it all of our attention to the playoffs, talking more Oklahoma City. But if you do want a hint in the meantime, check out that episode with Brian from last Friday. So on that note, I will wrap it up. Again, thanks to all of you guys for listening to me here at Locked on Rockets, your home for daily podcast coverage of the Houston Rockets. I'm Ben DuBose, your host. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben DuBose, the show on Twitter at Locked on Rockets. You can also email me at lockedonrockets@gmail.com. Questions, suggestions, advertising inquiries, anything we can do to make this a better podcast for you, the diehard Rockets fan. Once again, happy final from Sacramento. Rockets 135, Kings 128. Rockets back in action tomorrow night in LA against the Clippers, and I look forward to talking with you guys then. For now, have a good night.